over Jessica and this precious child that she's carrying right now, Father. We just pray that this would not be a stressful time for her or this baby. Lord, that this child would feel your peace. She would feel that peace through Jessica, and she would feel that peace through Gordon and Anita. Is there in the room that your presence would just surround her and overwhelm her, and it would be even more real than the amniotic fluid that she's in right now. Whew. And I pray for a smooth delivery. I pray for the doctors that they would be overwhelmed by your presence, and that they would know there's something unique and different about this birth. Lord, we just declare life, and we declare peace, and we declare rest, and we declare, Lord, just abundant joy. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Amen. Yeah. All right. I've got a couple announcements that I need to hit. Actually, I've got several announcements. Let me find my Lori's reading glasses. I always have to steal hers because I lose mine. I've got several of them, so everybody kind of zone in for just a second with me, and then we'll shift gears a little bit. We've got coming up several events that are taking place. We were having a men's meeting on January 23rd. I think that's a week from Tuesday. I'm pretty sure that's a week from Tuesday, but it's January the 23rd here at the church. Brother Jody Brazelton's going to come and speak at it, so I'm excited about that. He's going to be with us. The Blake House is going to be joining us. We are doing a meal, so that's going to start at 6:30. And we're not going to disrupt anything in here with tables and all that, everything. It's going to be casual in the fellowship hall. So if you have to come from work, that is cool, man. Just come like you are. Blue jeans, work boots, that is fine. Me and Keith and Scott are going to, which means that Lori will be doing a lot of stuff. But we'll be, we're going to be doing a meal. And so just, y'all come on in, man, and let's just have a good time of iron sharpening iron, and men just engaging God with each other in the setting of just men. Y'all know how y'all's ladies are when it's just y'all ladies in here at a ladies' meeting. It just feels different. The men's thing is the same thing. So we're doing that a week from Tuesday, the January 23rd. Remember that, 6:30. Invite somebody. Bring somebody with you to that, guys. Invite somebody. The first ladies meeting, when we restarted those back up last year, the first one was all ladies in the house, and now we have more visitors than we do homegirls when we do the ladies meeting. So it's awesome. So use this as an outreach, all right? Speaking of which, the ladies meeting, the next ladies meeting is February 8th. It's going to be at 6:30. And so y'all remember that, and we'll be updating you as that gets closer. I'm not sure who's speaking. February 8th, is that, what night's that on? Thursday night for the ladies. So that's coming up February 8th. Youth Winter Jam is February 3rd. That is going to be, I'm assuming, Phillips Arena. I'm not sure on that, but I'm assuming that's Phillips Arena. So Tyler's carrying the youth to that. He and Ambry, the admission is $15. So that's a cheap evening out, and it will be a very good, just some really, really great worship leaders that are going to be over there. So y'all remember that coming up on February 3rd. If you have any questions, just see Tyler or Ambry or Ariel. She can help you on some of that stuff, and we'll get you plugged in the right direction on that. And on February 14th, it's Valentine's Day. That's a Wednesday night. We are having church services. They're doing something special for the kids that night. It's going to be a Be His Valentine party. Be His Valentine party. And so it's going to be really good. So that'll be for all the kids. All the kids will be meeting together in one big group. We won't divide them up into regular classrooms, and then we'll have regular Bible study in here on that night. So that's February 14th. And that's the announcements on stuff that's coming up. Also, I just want to throw this out there. so you can just start rolling around in your head. Linda came up to me this morning. She said, "Hey, man, me and Keith registered for the Bethel Worship Conference. It is in Dallas this year. I highly, highly recommend that conference. Lori and I go to it every year, and it's just tremendous. It's 72 hours of intense presence. It's the best way I can describe it. It is 72 hours of intense presence. Dallas will be a much more affordable trip for people in our area. It's better than L.A. I'll miss L.A., but it's Dallas is much more affordable as far as a 12-hour car ride or a short plane trip. And the conference itself is not expensive. It's like $119, $129 for 3 days. So I want to encourage you, invest in your spiritual life. I promise you it'll do more for you than 3 days at the beach. And I like 3 days at the beach. Nothing wrong with that. It'll do more. Let me put it in my term. It'll do more for you than 3 days shooting ducks. And I love shooting ducks. So, you know, invest in your spiritual life. So if that's something that you're like, man, that would be awesome. To me, the most powerful worship leaders on the planet are going to be there. And so if it's where you can, I highly, highly encourage that. Take your kids to that. We're carrying our whole brood this year. Don't know how we're going to work, but our whole brood's going this year. So we're going to kind of invade the place on that. But anyway, just throwing those out there. Turn in your Bible, if you will, the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. Also, keep up with your emails as the church sends out emails and the little text things that Errol sends out. I'm not up with all the new stuff. I do emails, but those go out on a weekly basis, so keep up with those. If you're not on the church email list or the whatever that new texting thing is, then see Errol and get your name on that so you can stay in touch, because there's a lot more stuff that I don't hit because I hate announcements. And there's a lot more stuff that comes out every week, so needs and different things like that. So just plug into that. We're going to be this morning, I think let's turn to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. I want us to, recently the Lord spoke to me, and I've been on this for several weeks now, and hitting on Wednesday night and Sunday mornings. I felt like the Lord's for 2018, one of His words for 2018, was that it was going to be a year of hidden things or secret things, the gift of hidden things spoken to us and given to us. And I felt like God was going to come in this year. God will come in this year and begin to speak to you in whispers, in unusual ways. He'll speak to you in ways that perhaps nobody else hears around you. And it's not just a whisper. Sometimes it can be loud, just in a different language. The cool thing about Pentecost was everybody heard what they were saying in their own language, because there were men from all parts of the earth there. And everybody, you know, I was like, well, were they speaking in tongues or foreign languages or what? And I'm like, yes. I think they were speaking in tongues, but they heard it in their own language. If you were Portuguese, I think you heard Portuguese. And a lot of times it's the reason that we don't hear God is because we're not tuned in to His frequency. And I believe that part of what's going to happen this year is God's going to change our frequency. I believe through intentional purpose on our part, because it will take intentional purpose. I believe through intentional purpose on our part and the gift and blessing from Him, I believe this year is going to be a year, Brett, where our frequency gets changed. To where I can, back in the day, you know, when we were, you know, kids and coming up and all of that, you had the old AM and FM stations, and none of it was push button or digital, and you had a knob in your car, and you would come in and you would twist that thing and you would catch that, and then when you caught that, you might, you know, have to go back just a hair just to get totally dialed in. And I really believe that God this year is going, through our intentional purpose and His desire and His design, I believe He's going to be changing our frequencies so that we hear things that may perhaps have been being said for a while, but we've been unable. They've been secret to us because we couldn't hear them. And I really believe, Robin, that the gift that He's going to bless us with this year is He's going to reveal hidden things to us. Okay? So I've been developing that for a while. We've been really looking at the life of Abraham and everything. And last week, the Lord spoke something to me that was pretty pretty significant. I feel like He showed me something in studying Abraham. And Bethel's one of my favorite places in the Bible. And I'm not talking about Redding, California. But Bethel's one of my favorite places in the Bible. Because Jacob had this amazing encounter with God there. And it was a time when Jacob was uncertain about who he was and he was uncertain about his future. And God in this moment did not give him a roadmap for his life. But God simply in this moment said that you are going to be engaged and involved in supernatural activity. I like that song that that Madeline sang a while ago, and it said that there's one line in it, and it says, I know you won't lead me where you won't go. I know you won't lead me where you won't go. And I don't have to know the plan, and I don't have to know the future, and I don't have to know all of these detailed steps and all. I've learned to relinquish that amount of control to Him. I don't have to do all that as long as I know He's with me. And to me, the beauty of this encounter with Bethel is that God came to Jacob, and God said, Jacob, I just want you to know, I know you don't know who you are right now. I know you've got a birthright, and you've got a stolen blessing. I know your mama loves you, but I've spoke some things over you. And I've made some declarations over you. And now we're sending you, or they are sending you out to another place, another country, because your brother's furious with you, and he has designed to kill you. And so I'm sure the enemy's coming in and whispering all this stuff to Jacob, saying, man, you didn't earn any of that. You don't deserve any of that. It is not rightfully yours. You had to lie, cheat, and steal to get it. You're a deceiver. Even your name, Jacob, supplanter, and all of this stuff. And so I'm sure he's getting bombarded with the enemy. But in the background of that, his mama's coming in, and his mama's saying, this is what the Lord said about you. This is what the Lord said about you. So he's got this huge conflict going on about, who am I? What's going on in my... Have I screwed this up? Have I done it right? Because there's one part of me that says, man, I did what was in front of me to do, and I did it well. And then another part said, man, you're cheating your way through all of this. You're the biggest fraud on the planet. Any of y'all, the enemy's ever called you a fraud? Me? Said, you're a fraud. You get up here and you preach and you teach this stuff and you talk about righteousness and you talk about this and this and all of that stuff. But then I look at your life and I'm like, you know, I laugh at that. That's what the enemy says to us, right? If we're performance oriented, because all of us, the Word says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I believe that's after salvation as well. And so he's in this place, and then God meets him and encounters him there. And God's basically letting him know that, man, I've brought you to this place, and I'm involved in your life, and I'm engaged in your life. There's going to be supernatural comings and going and supernatural activity, and I have this plan for you. And I think him coming into this place and knowing this and establishing this, it launches him out into the next 14 years, which is the time he spent earning a bride. Actually, earned two. Got two. You know, he got a BOGO, right? Now, the second, you know, it wasn't free, but it's 14 years. And I think this encounter with, sometimes God will come and meet us in unique ways just so that we'll know I can make it through this next thing that I've got to walk through. I can make it through this next season. I can make it through this next hurdle. I can make through this next hard thing. Because he still had a lot of hard things he had to do. And so he had this amazing encounter with God. And he comes in and he calls this place Bethel. And it basically means house of God. And so last week I came in and I said, I felt like the Lord had really spoke something to me. You know, earlier in Genesis when Abraham's coming to this place, it's called Bethel too, but you know why it's called Bethel there? Because Moses wrote the Pentateuch. 500 years after Abraham's gone, Moses is writing all this stuff. He's writing a history of Abraham, a history of the earth, a history of the Israeli people. And so he's writing all this stuff. So it's easy for him to go back and say, Abraham was in Bethel. Abraham didn't know it was Bethel. He just knew it was the place. He came in and he said, man, this is the place. And I said something last week, and you all got real excited, man. I mean, there was folks, you know, you say, yeah, and amen, and all that stuff. It really amped everybody up when I said this. I said a lot of times the second generation, the following generations, will have more clarity on what God is saying and doing. And in that clarity, they will be able to do and produce more powerful things. And we all want to believe that as parents and grandparents, don't we? Even if we don't have children, we want to believe that for those 40 kids that just went up to children's church. He's not my child, but I want to believe that for Carter. I want to believe that for Lincoln. That they're going to have more clarity than what I had. Because they're Jacob. Because they're Jacob. Because they're going to have this clear encounter with God. And my faith has brought us to a place, but this next generation is going to get it so much more powerful and so much clearer and all of that stuff. And we all cheer that and we all want to believe that, and rightfully so. And we're all encouraged by that. But there's only one problem with that. A lot of times that causes us to lapse into a place of inactivity. Because we say, God's going to do it in the next generation, so that lets my generation off the hook. Right? If I know God's going to blow up with my kids and my grandkids, and I mean in a powerful way, and bring so much clarity to them, then all I've got to do is just keep doing what I'm doing, Brett. And it absolves me from a lot of responsibility in my mind. The pressure isn't on me because God's going to do it through them. The pressure isn't on me because Jake Fromm can be a mouthpiece. Or, I can't pronounce his name, the Hawaiian kid. I don't even want to try. It's like speaking Greek to me. Tua. And so you see what I'm saying? We come in and we applaud that and we cheer that and we say, yay, God, for that. And we're like, God, that is awesome. Let me just kind of set the table a little bit and then you run with it with them. And it absolves us in our minds from responsibility. It absolves us from the mantle. And here's the thing, guys. God came to me and I'm like, God, what? I knew we were going to be in this vein today, and I knew we would, because when God says something, we need to hang on to it and let Him develop it. If I'm just preaching a sermon, we'll move on next week. But if God sends something, let's let Him develop this thing. Let this thing get deep in us. And I'm like, God, what do you want to say? Here's what He said real clear yesterday. He said, tomorrow I want you to speak to the Jacobs. I want you to speak to the Jacobs. And the truth is, there's a lot of us that are older and have been in this walk and been in this race a while. And you know what our name is? Our name is not necessarily Abraham. Our name's Jacob. There's a lot of you guys, you're not first generation. You're second generation. You're third generation. And that word I spoke last week, that God spoke last week about the next generations coming in would receive more clarity, that is absolutely true. But what happens when I'm that generation? I can applaud it for them, but today my name's Jacob. Some of you, your guys, your name's Jacob. You don't have that spiritual background from your upbringing and all of that stuff that I had and everything. So you might come in and say, man, I'm first generation in this. I hate to tell you this, you're not. Because in the sense of this house and everything, I'm first generation and you're second generation. So in this, I get the direction and I get this is home, but the clarity comes to you. So don't come in and say, man, I'm first generation on this, so God's going to rock it out through Haven and Hunter. And He will rock it out through Haven and Hunter, but it doesn't absolve Robin from the fact that God's going to speak unusual clarity and He's going to require me to step out and do things and contend for things in my life, not just in their life. I think some of you have gotten to the place where you're defaulting to your kids. You're saying, my kids are going to be powerful in the Lord. I hope they are. But I want you to be powerful in the Lord. I hope this granddaughter that we just prayed over is powerful in the Lord. But I want her grandmother to be powerful in the Lord. Amen? There's some things I'm Abraham, but there's some things I'm Jacob in, guys. There's some things that I'm Abraham, and I just had the same. My Christian heritage was awesome from my parents. I've got godly parents. I've got awesome parents, man. My father loved the Lord. My mom still loves the Lord and all of that stuff. But I want to tell you something. The clarity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the expressions of worship and all of that stuff, that's first generation right here with me and her. The clarity that came in with that. Their heart was toward God. But then he came in and he said, call this place Bethel. Because I'm seeing supernatural activity. My dad had supernatural encounters. I'm not saying they didn't have supernatural encounters with God. I'm simply saying the things that God has brought us into and showed us and revealed to us and we've experienced in Him, that we've experienced in Him, that requires us to be a Jacob, ultimately an Israel. And I don't want us to come into the thing and simply default to the coming generations. I have hope for them. I have hope for what's taking place up there. But golly, golly, man, I want to get it going in my life too. As God gives me this clarity, it's not just so I can help propel Ariel or Rhett. It's so I can be just... Think about some of the stuff, man, that you guys are Jacob on. The clarity in some of this stuff. Think about some of that, Nick White. Some of the experiences with God. Some of these amazing encounters. The thing I love about Jacob and the story of Jacob as we study and we follow him and everything is everywhere he goes, he has a unique encounter with God. And he names that place after that unique encounter. He got that from his daddy. His daddy did that too. All these names that we like to call God, Jehovah Jireh, and all of those cool names that we cry out. How many times y'all called out to God, Jehovah Jireh, because He's my provider? Thousands of times. You know how it started with? Abraham. Because he had this encounter with God up on Mount Moriah. And we come in and we're like, oh, Abraham knew that God was going to have a ram for him. No, he didn't. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, you know what it said? It said that Abraham, by faith, he knew that even if he sacrificed Isaac, God was able to raise him from the dead. He was willing to go through with a knife. Because he said, my God has told me to do this, I'm following through. You talking about a resolve when God said to do this, I'm following through on this? To the point that he's going to hold me up on the backside? And that's where this guy walked. But then even you see Jacob coming in, and you see a level of clarity that comes in even after that, and that put a level of responsibility on him even higher. So I just want us to think about that and talk about that. And I want to declare today that you're a Jacob today. You're a Jacob. On many levels, you're a Jacob. And that means God's going to come in and He's going to speak things to you and He's going to give you clarity on things and He's going to reveal things to you. That, man, I didn't understand the detail of this stuff. And now God's revealed this to me. I've heard my mama talk about, you know, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about Jacob. Jacob's sitting there saying, I've heard my mama talk about God prophesied and declared these things over my life. And we won't study that this morning for time's sake, because I could teach this about 6 hours and we wouldn't get through with all of it. But he comes in and God's declaring this stuff over Jacob and said that the older is going to serve the younger. There are two nations within you. One nation's going to be stronger and the older is going to serve the younger. And he was declaring all this about Jacob. So you got all of a sudden this clarity coming into Jacob's life. All this purpose coming into Jacob's life. And I really want to get to a place. I tell you what, let's skip. Since we won't have time, let's skip Genesis 28. This is where he had the Bethel encounter. And I want us to come in. And I want us to go to Genesis 32. This is Nick's favorite chapter in the Bible because it proves that God is a wrestler and not anything else. The Apostle Paul can talk about boxing and racing and all of that, but we know that God's a wrestler based out of this. I'm going to start in verse 24. Basically, the story of this is Jacob has spent his 14 years in the land of his father-in-law and he had to work for his wives. 7 years each, he spent 14 years laboring with Laban. And finally said, God said, go and get back with your people. Go back to your home. I want to take you home. God promised him when he had that Bethel encounter, he said that I'll bring you back to this place. And I'm going to bless you, but I'm going to bring you back to this place. The one constant I have in my life is the promises of God. And some of them are written and some of them are spoken, but the one constant I have in my life are the promises of God. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I know my thoughts towards you. He said, all of these things about me. He says, you're uniquely and wonderfully made. He says, all of this stuff about me. And he says, all this wonderful stuff about you. And the one thing that I can count on in this journey, Clay, is God's heart toward me. I don't always understand his hand, but I always know his heart toward me. And so I lean on that. And that's the undergirding in my life. And he comes in, and Jacob spends these 14 years laboring for Laban, for his two wives. Some things are worth working for. Amen? Some things are worth working for. Some things are worth laboring for. Good kids are worth laboring for. A good marriage is worth laboring for. A good home is worth laboring for. A community of believers is worth laboring for. Come on. A household filled with peace is worth laboring for. And so he come in, he spends 14 years in this. And God sends him home. So he starts on his way home. The only problem with him coming home is he's got a brother named Esau that's, for all he knows, still wanting to kill him. I know 14 years has passed, but you remember he got the birthright, and that's a different story for a different day, and he stole the blessing. He got the birthright and he stole the blessing. And so Esau's like, man, you took, even though these things weren't important to me, after they were gone, they seemed important to me. And so he said, when my father dies, I'm going to kill my brother. And so he had this facing him, and he starts his journey back. And he has another encounter with God. And in the beginning of chapter 32, and I won't read this, we're going to jump down in a minute, but in the beginning of it, he said, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him, and he saw the angels of God. He had a dream and a vision at Bethel, but in this, he actually literally said he saw the angels of God. And he had such an encounter with God and the fact that God's angels were going with him, and I believe it was not just one or two, I believe there was a host of angels. Because he named this place, the name that he named this place meant two hosts or two companies. And he had this huge company, an entourage of he and his servants and his family and all of his animals and everything going. And there was a company of angels and there was his company. And they were going together in this journey. And that's what you need to know and understand, that God has a host of angels that are walking this thing with you. And you got the Holy Spirit inside of you also. Amen. You got the Trinity inside of you. And so we're not walking through this journey alone, guys. It's not a thing where we're like, man, I'm out here floundering and this stinks and nobody's here. Nobody appreciates me and nobody's in this thing with me. He is. And so Jacob has another encounter with God and he named it another name. And it meant two hosts. And so then he comes in. And on the heels of every great breakthrough with God, it seems like we get a negative report, right? Somebody came to him and said, hey man, we just saw your brother and his company and they're headed to meet you and he's got 400 trained servants. If you remember, his grandfather Abraham defeated four nations with 312 trained servants. And his brother's got 400. And he's like, man, I am toast. And he comes and he cries to God and he said, God, he, you know what he immediately does? He immediately splits his host or his company into two parts. And his idea behind this, if they start killing us, maybe the second half will get away while the first half's getting slaughtered. And so he comes in and he says, he petitions God and he says, God, I've look at what's in front of me and all of this is befalling me. And I've had to split my company in two parts, and I'm sure God was sitting there chuckling when he said that and said, your company was already in two parts. How soon we forget. He said, I split it in two parts. And so he camps that night, and he comes in, and his company is split into two parts, and he is with the most precious to him, the concubines and all the stuff's on one side, and he's got Rachel and Leah and his children and Benjamin and all of this stuff, and he comes to a place where he separates himself even from that, and he sends them over the Jabbok River, and he's on this side, and he's all alone. And this is where we are at this point. And I want to talk about us being Jacob. And I want to read this in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. Everybody there with me? And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And then Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over, Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. I absolutely love this story right here, because I love this is so the way that it seems like God moves in my life. Just a lot of points, and we won't try to expositorily teach and preach this. But as you being a Jacob, God wants to ultimately come in and bless you and change your name. But there's a process that takes place in this. We want the preacher to lay hands on us and us walk out of here, and our life is just like everything's great and I'm changed and everything's wonderful and no more problems, and I still don't have to face my brother tomorrow. At the end of this, he still had to face his brother tomorrow, guys. But there was a process that was taking place. And the thing that I want you to grasp, and it's a very familiar story and very familiar preaching out of this, but in light of what we're talking about, of God speaking to us and bringing clarity to our lives, I want us to view it through that lens this morning. Is that God came in and God contended with Jacob to see how much Jacob was going to contend with him. And he came in with a wrestling match, because a wrestling match is so personal. It's a thing, and it's an intense warfare between two individuals. I remember when Nick was coming in, I didn't get the whole wrestling thing. We're not from Bremen, so I didn't get the whole wrestling thing. And when Nick was coming up and he was living with us and everything, and we would go to all the wrestling meets, and I was like, immediately I was impressed, because it was 3 minutes of just amazing intensity. And they do three-minute periods, right, Nick? Isn't that what it is? Three two-minute. Thank you. It's been a few years since I've been to one. At 3 2-minute periods, and I'm like, I can do anything for 2 minutes, but I would say these guys totally gassed. Totally, absolutely gassed. Because they were so locked up and so engaged, and it was so intense, and it was so personal. That's the thing. It wasn't like, you know, when I was a kid coming up, you know, on Channel 17 TBS, you could watch wrestling. And, you know, it was, I know you saw a bunch of it growing up in Randall House's household. And in those, you would have the tag team, and you'd have Mr. Wrestling number one and Mr. Wrestling number two. And when he got tired, one of them would jump off the top rope and slap his hand on the way down and then put a hurting on the other boy. And we want our Christian life to be like that. I didn't mean to regress and get back into wrestling. But we want our Christian life to be like that. We want to get in a jam and see Jesus come flying off the top ropes, lift up our hand, let Him slap it on the way in, and then He defeats all our enemies. And God said, that's not real life. Real life is I am in you and I'm with you. But you're engaged in this intensely personal journey. And so God comes in, and he's locking up with him, and they wrestle all night long. To the point where God said, you're going to quit. And some of you have gone through some difficulty in the last year or 2 years, and God asked you, are you going to quit? And it's not so He's looking for information. He's wanting you in your heart to say, I'm not going to quit. Because I look around the room and I see a lot of people's gone through a lot of stuff just this past year. I've seen people deal with tragedy. I've seen people deal with death. I've seen people deal with issues in their life. I've seen people deal with issues in their family and people around them. I've seen people go through betrayal and hurt and everything else. And we're engaged in this wrestling match with God. But we need to understand, He's not our adversary. He's our sparring partner. He's not trying to pin you. He's trying to get you ready so you can pin the enemy. Nick, you coach high school wrestling. I'm pretty safe bet you could defeat every kid on your wrestling team in a wrestling match. I mean, Nick was a good wrestler. But I bet you could. I would be surprised if one of them 150-pound kids can pin you. It'd be a fluke. Just saying. But you're not engaged in them when y'all wrestle and y'all spar and you do that. You're engaged with them as a sparring partner to get them ready to wrestle a kid from Carrollton or Bremen or Calhoun or wherever. Your job is not to defeat them, but your job is to train them. And so God, and a lot of the things that we do as we get in, as we wrestle in this thing with God, is that they come in and they say, I bet some of those kids, after they wrestle with Coach White, some, do you still get on the mat and wrestle with them? I figured you did. Every day. I bet some of those kids, after they get in there and they wrestle with you and they make it through 2 minutes without getting pinned, I bet they walk out of there and said, I believe I can take him. I bet locker room talk with some of their buddies, they say, I believe I can take Coach White. You know what made them think that? They sparred with you 2 minutes and you didn't pin them. But your objective was not to pin them, your objective was to teach them. Your objective was to get them ready where when they stepped into the circle with a kid from Calhoun, he says, I can beat him and I can do this because I lasted 6 minutes with Coach White. And the thing is not that you know that, but that they know that. And Jacob has to understand who he is with God. Abraham's on this journey with God, and that was a lot of what... Basically, guys, when Abraham went up to Mount Moriah to offer Isaac, that was his wrestling match. God told him and says, now I can bless you because I know you won't withhold anything from me. That's what God said. But God already knew that. You know who needed to know that? Abraham needed to know that. God already knew what Jacob was to become because He declared it when Jacob was in his mother's womb. What did He say? He said, this is going to be a great nation. The older is going to serve the younger, and the younger is going to be a great nation. He already had Israel in his head. He just needed Jacob to understand that he was Israel. Because the enemy the whole time had been telling him, you're a deceiver. You're a failure. The only way you can get it is cheating. You're a fraud. You're a poser. Just like the enemy has come to a lot of you guys and said, you're a poser. If you're a real hammer-down Christian, the woods are full of them. Right? Anybody ever heard those voices? Don't let him come in and feed you a bunch of lies and all of that stuff. That's his greatest tool, is lying. That's his biggest vehicle of power. So he'll come in and lie to us. Said, you don't deserve this. And you're a failure. And you've fallen short again and again and again and again. And God wants to engage us and wrestle with us just like He did with Jacob right here to get us to the point where He says, what's your name? He said, Jacob. He says, not Jacob anymore. It's Israel now. Because you have power with God and with man. And if he had said this on the front and the end of their all-night wrestling match, then maybe Jacob doesn't believe it. But at the end of this wrestling match, he can sit here and he say, man, maybe he's right. I can do this and I can endure this. And I can walk this thing out. And I can complete this journey. I mean, if I can go with God all night long in a wrestling thing, even after I had a dislocated hip. You know, sometimes God cheats. Sometimes God will throw you a curve, or sometimes God will use a curve that the enemy threw at you. God doesn't always throw the curves, but sometimes He will use the curves that the enemy threw at you. And you say, man, that wasn't a curve, that was a mountain. I understand that. But God will use that for your growth and for your blessing and for your advantage and to propel you into what your true identity is. If I came at some of you guys and was able to come in at the beginning of your journey and show you all the stuff that you were going to have to go through on this journey, you know what you would be? You'd be like, I can't do that. Kind of like climbing a mountain. You look at it from the bottom, you're like, whoa, that's steep. I don't think I can do that. But when you look at it one step at a time or one brick at a time or whatever it might be, and you get the top, then you can look back and say, doggone, man, I did that. And the enemy will throw you a curve. And God said, that's all right. You know what that is? That's your hip out of joint. And our encounters with God will mark us, and we will walk with a limp sometimes. But that, you know what that is? The Word says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And that's my testimony. That this was hard, but I made it through it. This stunk, but I made it through it. This is painful, but I made it through it. And not only did I made it through it, it drove me deeper in my faith with God instead of driving me away from God. Do I trust Him more or trust Him less? I find it interesting that He puts His hip out of socket. Let's look right here. It said, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, when God saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Jacob said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I learn more and I find out more about myself when I go through adversity than I do when everything's easy and smooth. I always say in life, whether it's marriage or whether it's business or whatever, if it was easy, everybody could do it. And I find out more about myself on where do I turn in the midst of pain? Where do I turn in the midst of hurt? Where do I turn in the midst of insurmountable odds, what seem like insurmountable odds? And if my help is from Him and I look to the hills, then that just builds in my testimony of this is what God did and this is the faithfulness. And Jacob walked through life. He walked through the rest of his life with a limp. I can appreciate that. I've had one of mine replaced and the other one's kind of up in there. But he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. But it was a testimony to him, and it was a testimony to the nation, and it was a testimony to everybody. So, man, what happened to you? He's like, I wrestled with God, and it left a mark. There's something left a mark on this kid that he could stand up on national TV or stand up on these interviews and say, man, how did you do this? And says, man, I just spoke in tongues. Something left a mark on him. He had an encounter with God. Something left a mark on him. I saw one thing and they said, what are your aspirations? No, I just said, man, I just want to go to the NFL. And I said, I want to make enough money where I can go back to Hawaii and build a church. I'm serious. I just want to go back where I can go back home and build a church. Whew. I'm like, wow. I'm not going to be wearing crimson, but I'll be rooting for him. And Fromm and any of these other young men. But he comes in and he wrestles with God. And along this wrestling match, along this journey, something happens. And in this case, God did it. I don't think that God will... I know. Let me back up. I know God won't bring evil in our life. God does not bring sickness in our life. God does not bring death in our life. That would go against His nature. That would go against His nature. Don't ever say, Lord, if it be your will, that I tell you what, folks, the cross was proof that it was His will that we be healed. Come on, somebody, get some good theology on me. I promise you that. His hope for you is that you would walk in this place of blessing and this and health and wholeness. He died for our wholeness. Okay? God doesn't bring those things, but sometimes God will bring a bumpy road for us. Push it. Push it. Push it. Push it. How many of you know what it takes to raise a brat? Give them everything they want. Make it easy on them. Are you guys, are you little kids and young babies, you want to raise a brat? Give them everything they want. Make it easy on them. And you'll achieve that. God's no different. Sometimes no is in His vocabulary. Sometimes not now is in His vocabulary. Sometimes resistance is in His vocabulary. And He'll come in and He will wrestle with us and He will engage with us. And I love the fact that God initiated this, but once God initiated this, Jacob was like, I recognize this as something. He was not wrestling for his life. It shifted. I think to start with, all right, and I'm supposing right here, I think to start with it might have been, I am wrestling for my health and my life. But somewhere in there, he realized, I believe he got some revelation somewhere in this, that I'm wrestling with God. And now all of a sudden, I stopped wrestling out of a defensive posture, and he started wrestling out of an offensive posture. Because he said, I'm not letting go until I get blessed. He didn't say, I'm not letting go, you know, like we were wrestling a doggone cougar or something. I'm engaging him, because if I let go, then it's when he can strike me. But if I can keep him locked up and keep him tight. And so I think it started out as defensive, but then it became offensive, and that's what God wants us to do. God wants sometimes to contend for our faith out of a defensive posture, but that should always transition into contending for our faith in an offensive posture. I'm not contending against God, I'm contending for something. There's a difference. God is not your adversary. But I'm contending for something. He wants to see where my faith is. He wants me to see where my faith is. Let's look in this, and I'm going to wrap this up in just a second. He said, what's your name? After Jacob said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Some of you guys got to go through some process. Sometimes I have to go through some process until I get to the real question at hand. You want to go straight to the thing of God changed my name, and God said, wait a minute, let's go through some process. And after Jacob gets to the point where he says, I'm not letting go until you bless me, then God comes in and said, what's your name? He said, Jacob. Jacob. We could do a word study on that. Means supplanter, means deceiver. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, somebody say inheritance on that, amen. As a prince, hast thou power with God and with men. And he has prevailed. As a prince, hast thou power with God and with men, and you prevail. I put a note in there as an heir. God didn't say that you had power with God because you wrestle with. God said you had power with God because you are operating as a prince now. Because there's something important to you. And that's the blessing of God. And he said, if you are concerned with my hand in your life. See how this transitions? Earlier, who did he want blessings from? Somebody work with me. Earlier, Abraham. He wanted the birthright of Abraham. He wanted the blessings of Abraham. I'm not sure how his motives were starting out. Maybe he just wanted to be the guy. Double portion. Run the show. All that stuff meant more to him than it did his brother. I mean, his brother sold it for, you know, a bowl of soup and some bread. So it didn't mean much to him. But something transitioned in here after he's had two other encounters with God, one at Bethel and the other one at the other place where the angelic host appeared to him. He's had these two encounters with God. And now he says, I found something that's more important than my fatherly blessings. I found something that's more important than my earthly blessings. I found something that's more important than my carnal blessings. I found something that's more important than just this stuff on this level. Because I've seen it in my encounters with God. I saw it in Bethel. I saw it in this other occasion. And now I recognize that I'm engaged with God right now. And I really believe this year that some of you guys, a lot of you guys, whosoever will, I believe whosoever will posture himself and get on the right frequency. I believe you're going to have these encounters with God. And it's going to be Bethel-type encounters. It's going to be this, and I need to learn to pronounce this name that means two companies. It's going to be those type encounters. And it's going to be the encounters right here where I had a wrestling match with God. Peniel. And I believe you're going to have these encounters with God if you realize this is more important than this stuff, this earthly stuff. It's more important than this. It's more important than this. It's of eternal weight. It's of eternal value. It brings in corporate blessings in other people's lives. It propels me to the place where I know I'm designed to be. Do y'all know what? And two things are coming to my mind right here. One is God talking about Isaac and Ishmael. And the other one was talking about Jacob and Esau. You know what God's consolation prize is? Wealth and earthly power. That's God's consolation prize. You know what he said about Ishmael? Oh, don't worry, Abraham, I'm going to bless him. He'll be a great nation and he'll be rich. When he comes in with Esau, you know what he says about Esau? Abraham blessed him also, but you know what the consolation blessing was? He's going to be powerful and he's going to be wealthy. That's God's, I'm sorry, here's a quarter, kid. And we make that our pinnacle. What I want us to get is God's got something so much better than what the world says is the pinnacle. This kid didn't say I want to be the greatest of all time. Put the goat tag on me. I just want to go back to Hawaii and build a church. He realized there was a different pinnacle. He realized there was a different pinnacle. He realized there was a different pinnacle. And this year, God wants you to have the encounters that realize that the pinnacle that man says is really a consolation prize. Y'all never thought about that, have you? I never thought about that much. This is consolation prize. You've seen people that get on the game shows and they don't win, and what do they always have for them? Parting gifts. You know? They're sitting there saying, oh, and you've got some great parting gifts on your way out the door. Have a wonderful life. And God says, power and success. It's my product. It's my product. Wealth, it's my product. I've got something more. I've got something better. I've got something greater. And it's always involved in heavenly supernatural activity. And he said, because you're a prince, I'm changing your name, and it's Israel. It's Israel. And you've got power with God, therefore you'll have power with men. See, the key with that is you've got power with God. You know what God was saying? What did we talk about a few weeks ago? Where he came in and said, Abraham, he said, I know him. You know what happened after this encounter? God came in with Israel. I'm going to stop calling him Jacob at this point. He came with Israel, and you know what he said? Now I know him. because I wrestled with him all night long, and he wouldn't quit unless he got a blessing from me. He was already rich. When you've got that many servants and all that stuff, just bringing all of your stuff back, that you look like an army with all of your stuff. He was already rich. But he wasn't home. He already had levels of influence and power among men, but he wasn't home. God said, now I know him. God said, now I know him. And here's the key in this. Now Israel knew who he was. Now Israel knew who he was. And so out of that, we all know what's next. 12 tribes. 12 tribes. A nation. A nation. What did we say a few weeks ago before Israel became a nation? It was a man. It was actually three men. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And you come in today and you say, man, I'm Abraham. And I'll get the ball rolling, but I'm ready for the next ones to take it up and run with it. But where I'm looking at, you're Jacob. I know you want to be Abraham, but from where I'm looking at, you're Jacob. So all of a sudden that onus falls on you. Because out of your loins is going to come 12 tribes. Some of you guys in here been doing this a while. God's not done with you yet. That was one of the biggest things I declared over you guys this past year, is God is not done with you yet. You're having all of your heart issues and everything, and it just felt like the weight of the world was on both of you guys. And I said, God's not done with you yet. And I'm not just speaking from an Abraham standpoint. I'm speaking from a Jacob standpoint. I believe you're going to have clarity that maybe spiritual fathers didn't have. Going to have clarity in that. And with that is going to be an onus of responsibility. And don't say, well, it's he'll run. He's a good boy. He'll run with, I know. Don't say, well, she will run. You're Jacob. And you're Jacob. And you're Jacob. And when you realize these encounters with God, then it's going to shift and you'll no longer be Jacob and you'll be Israel. And that started when God was speaking that while you were in her womb. Because I've known you since you were nothing. You know what? My heart had never changed towards you. You know what's even greater than that, though? His heart's never changed towards you. And I had never stopped believing you because I see God's stuff speaks to me about you. But what's even more important is his heart has never changed towards you. And his design has never changed towards you. And what he sees in you has never changed. If anything, he's sitting here saying, we're getting closer now. We're getting closer now. Yeah, we're going through Bethel and we're going through this other name of this place and there's two companies and I see God's activity in my life and all of that stuff. But he's getting to the place and maybe the place that we're at right now, maybe the place you're at right now. I know this is intensely personal, but maybe the place that you're at right now is Peniel. That me and God's wrestling. You know what this wrestling match is all about? It's not about his identity. You notice God didn't respond when he said, who are you? God said, you ain't got to ask that. You know who I am. He said, this wrestling match is about who you are. And this wrestling match right now, it's about who you are. And I stand today and I say, you're Israel. Your name's no longer Jacob, it's Israel. Because God said it was Israel. Because in the womb, he said, a great nation's going to come out of you. In the womb, he said that. He said, I know my thoughts towards you. And those things don't change. Those things don't change. Whew. Man. Stand with me on that, you sister. Amen. I believe that. Every fiber in my being believes that. That ain't preacher talk. Because it's easy just to walk by stuff and just... God isn't done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. I don't know what the future looks like. I don't know. But God wants to solidify in you today that your name is Israel and it's not Jacob. He wants to solidify that in you. He spoke that over you for years. And it's Israel. It's Israel. It's Israel. Amen. Amen. And around and around and around. Around and around. I look in this place. I start declaring over a lot of you guys. A lot of you guys. Whew. None of this stuff catches God by surprise. Believe. Just let it settle in you right now. Let's kind of just soak in this for a second. Soak in this for a second. Man, soak in this for a second. Israel. That's your name. That's your name. Regardless of what the world says, but regardless of what your flesh says sometimes. This morning, will you contend for your faith? Let it go. Here's a transition that needs to take place in some of y'all's lives. Right now, you're contending for survival, and God says, I want you to contend for blessing. Basically, what I'm saying in that is God wants you to believe for more. Now, I know you say survival comes first. You're going to survive. Contend for blessing. Contend for blessing. Because you know what part of the Abrahamic promise is? In you, the greatest part of the Abrahamic blessing. You know what it was? In you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Not the consolation prize. That's our goal so often, Brett. In you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. That's the Abrahamic covenant. But guess who it was confirmed through again? Israel. We've been calling him Jacob all day, but I call him Israel now. That they'd be blessed. Because he contended for blessings. Not consolation prizes. He said, bless me. He was already rich. Bless me. Your hand in my life. What's the one thing? I'm closing with this. I promise, stand your feet. What is the one thing? That David could not live without. Psalm 51. What's one thing David could not live without? He said, God, you can take my kingdom from me. I know I've screwed up. You can take my kingdom from me. You can take everything from me. But do not take your presence from me. Because I survived and I flourished with it in the caves of Adullam. I don't have to have a palace, but I have to have you. You know what he was crying out for? He was crying out for mercy, but he was crying out for blessing. God, just bless me. I don't have to be king, but just bless me with your presence. Bless me with your hand in my life, God. Man, that's what I want to just declare over everybody here. I know we like to have music and all of that stuff. I want to ask you this morning two questions, body. Have you defaulted to the next generation? And maybe that's for us as older people. No, it's not. Have you defaulted to somebody else in your generation? Yesterday the Lord told me, He said, speak to Jacob today. I believe I am. Do not default. Do not default. I don't care what your personality is. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been doing this. Don't default. And secondly, do not, I'm not even going to say settle. Don't let the standard and the bar be in your life be consolation prizes or what God deems as consolation prizes. There's some places that I've got to get back to, but I want to go further then also. I've stood in this altar on occasion and smelled God. Some of you too. I distinctly, one occasion, I was down here, and it was thick in this house. And I literally smelled God. And a lot of you think that's weird. He who has ear, let him hear. If I'm speaking your language, then you that resonates in your soul. Literally, physically smelled God. Been so overwhelmed by His presence, could not move. Physically could not bodily function. Seen others in the same state. Baptized them and had to carry them out of the baptismal pool or the river. That's gold. That's wood, hay, and stubble. It can be useful. But I want us to aspire for His blessings. I want us to aspire for Israel. And I want us to create such an atmosphere. Create such an atmosphere that others are blessed because of my position and standing with God. Just be still and let God do some stuff. Close your eyes. Start praying if you want to. Just let Him do some stuff. Let it be so real in your life that others don't want to leave that. They gravitate toward that. If you quit wrestling, maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe you need to make an altar where you are. If you quit contending for others, if you quit believing in others, surely God made a mistake because Jacob's not worthy. Jacob's not, but Israel is. Some of you feel His weight this morning. Oh, Lord. There's one verse in Scripture that God repeats 7 times. Did y'all know that? There's one verse in Scripture God repeats 7 times. You know what that verse is? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Seven different times in the book of Revelation, that one verse is repeated. He that hath an ear, let him hear. 2018 is the year that you're going to have an ear, if you're willing to contend for it. If you're willing to contend for it. You know why I don't speak Spanish? Because I don't contend for it. You know how often I want to learn to speak Spanish? Every time I go to a foreign country and Spanish is the predominant language. Every time. I'll come back and be like, daggone, I need to learn Spanish. I've even made the investment and bought one of them Rosetta Stones one time. I mean, I was all about it, Nick. But you know what happened? I quit contending for it. I thought, man, this is a waste of time and this is stupid, and everybody will eventually learn to speak my language anyway. How arrogant are we? God will eventually learn to speak my language. Anybody? Oh, me? God will eventually learn to speak my language. I want to contend to hear and speak His. That's my prayer over this house. Hallelujah. All right, I hope you guys have an amazing day today. You say, man, we ain't having a traditional altar call. You have plenty of time to, if you need to pray about anything, you come grab me or Lori or any of these people down here, man. We'll be happy to pray with you. If you want to get saved this morning, if you say, man, this is a whole foreign thing to me about this God, but I just feel something drawing me. It just feels right and all of that stuff. Let me pray with you. Let me show you some scripture. Let me pray with you. If you need just whatever, don't leave this place. Don't leave this premises and all of that stuff. But if you're good and you're settled and God's just deposited in you what He needed to do today, then let's leave this place in peace and hope and purpose. All right? Peace and hope and purpose. Shout. Brett House, you want to lead us in prayer and dismiss us, brother?